ministering a series of messages called Moving Into Our Wealthy Place. And I told you that God put that word in my heart. Psalms 66:12 is our foundation scripture. Let me read it to you quickly here. It says, "You have caused men to ride over our heads." And we've already taught on that and understood that when they got out of the will of God, the enemy comes and you no longer have the support and the backing of the Lord when you're out of the plan and out of the will of God. But look what it says. It says, we went through the fire, we went through the water, but, everybody say but. Now this is the good part here, because even though this is old covenant, even though this is in the Old Testament, when they got back, just like she said a while ago, when they got back in line with God, God got back in line with them. And look what it says. It says, but you brought us out to a rich fulfillment. Say rich fulfillment. Okay, so, you know, we're talking about moving into our wealthy place, and God began to put some things in my spirit, in my heart, to share with you. Even back last year, we began talking about some things, and we, before they even ever started talking about 2009 and the recession and all the way that the economy has turned downward and the great economic crisis that the whole world is in today. But God knows exactly what He's doing. We are not affected by what the world does. We are not in the world, but we're in the world, but we're no longer of the world. Amen? And so we live in the kingdom of God, and we've been establishing those things. We talked about in week one, and just kind of look up on the screen, and then I'll tell you where to go in a minute, but we used the first week to talk about that God has a good plan. Say good plan. And in Jeremiah, we use the scripture, Jeremiah 29:11, in the New Living Translation, that says that God does not have a disaster plan. Now, there's a lot of disasters going on. There's a lot of crises going on. But I'm glad that I serve God. God has a good plan for my life. Come on, somebody say amen. And to give us a future and to give us a hope. And so, God has no disaster plan. Say that with me. Say, God has no disaster plan in 2009. For my life. Now, I know there's a lot of people that, you know, are struggling. There's a lot of people right now that, you know, having situations go on. But we're here to get a word from the Lord today. Amen. We're here to not allow fear to contaminate our faith. Fear tolerated is faith contaminated. So we do not fear what man can do. We have not been given the spirit of fear. So all these things have to enter into our logic and into our thinking, okay? Then week two, we talked about increase being the will of God. We said that God's will is to increase us, to expand us, and to enlarge us. But those things have to begin on the inside of us first. We have to get the word down on the inside. God knew exactly where we would live, the time that we would live. And 2009, the will of God is for increase for His church. Increase for His children. Are you the children of God? Okay, so we learned that. Then week three, we talked about being in the right place. Being in the right place at the right time. And let no one take you out of your place. Now, it's important because a lot of us are in our wealthy place. Some of us are close to our wealthy place, and some of us are on our way to our wealthy place. But even if you're in your wealthy place, how many know there's always more? There's always increase, there's always expansion, there's always enlargement. So if you're not in your wealthy place yet, at least be on the way. Because I've had people say, well, you know, I was on the way, Pastor, but I kind of got out of the will of God. Well, God let me get back on track and take me into my wealthy place. How many of you know what the answer is to that question? Most certainly. You know, most certainly. If you have fallen and you have missed it, look, all you have to do is repent. All you have to do is get back on track. God wants to take you into your wealthy place. Now, we use several translations of that scripture out of Psalms there. One of them talks about the New King James says rich fulfillment, because I brought these translations out to you because it's not just talking about money. Sometimes when we think about increase and enlargement and expansion, we're only talking about money. But we're talking about being in a place where we are fulfilled richly and being content in every area of our life. Having contentment in peace. Having contentment in our families or in our marriages or in our homes. Having a rich, fulfilled life in God. How many of you want to get to that place? Well, we used other translations because it explains, it's not just talking like the King James says, wealthy, where we think of money, but it's talking about having that peace where nothing's missing and nothing's broken, because God is bigger than your problem. God is bigger than recession. Come on, God is bigger than all of that stuff. Can you say amen? So we have to make sure we get this thing down inside of us. That, listen, we have to stay on course with God, and we cannot allow the devil to take us out of our wealthy place. If there's somebody that could take you out of your wealthy place, it is the devil. That's why we give him no place. And we have to make up our mind, say, make up my mind, that I am not going to let anyone, I'm not going to let anything take me out of my wealthy place. There has to be a determination, more than just a strong will. There has to be an implanting of the Word of God, because we know the longer that we are saved, the longer that we are Christian, the enemy does not just roll over and play dead. There will be people that will try to take you out of your wealthy place. There will be situations, there will be circumstances that try to take you out of your wealthy place. We made that point and we reiterate it time and time again, but let me just reiterate one other thing, that no matter how hard the devil tries and no matter how many people he uses, they cannot take you out of your wealthy place. You have to make that determination and you have to stay on course. And then we talked in week 4 about refusing to move out of our wealthy place. And we give examples, and we can't, you know, go back to all those things. You'll just have to get all the messages, but they're good, and you need to listen to them, and you need to go over them and get them down in your heart. Today, I've got a word for you. And if you're taking notes and you want to put a title to it, here's what the title is: God's Word on Recession. Thank you for all that enthusiasm. God's Word on recession. Now, let me just stop here, because a pastor, a minister, when God begins to put something down in their craw, down in their spirit, they become like a crock pot. Not crackpot, crock pot. You know what a crock pot is? It's a slow cooker. And see, when God began to put these things down inside, you know, when you begin to meditate on these things, you begin to study out these things and look at the Scripture on these things, then you begin to preach them, they just become larger and larger and more revelation. You don't have to know how to cook real good, but if you've got one of those slow cookers, one of those crock pots, you can put something in there and spice it up, let it stay there all day and cook real slow and simple, and by nighttime, it tastes pretty good, doesn't it? And so that's what we're saying here. God has just put more and more, and that's what happens to ministers sometimes, is you think, well, I'm just going to teach this message, we'll go on to something else, but there's so much here. And this is what I want you to get. Here's the word. I believe God has a word for you today. And here's what I want you to get in your heart, okay? If people allow recession to get in their heart, now listen to me, if people allow recession to get in their heart and get in their mind and get in their mouth, they will have recession. Now, it's important that you get that down. If you allow, listen, if all you do is read the news, listen to the news, watch, you know, Fox News Channel, watch CNN, whatever you watch, or the internet, read, or the daily paper, or the local news, how many know all they are talking about are the problems? All they are talking about is how bad things are. and how the recession is affecting and how that we're in this mess, and you know, really they don't have any answers. Now you think, listen to me, you think you are just watching news, but you have to understand that if that's all you're listening to and that's what you are feeding yourself with, those words are going inside of you and they become seed. And if you allow that to get into your heart and into your mind and into your mouth, then it is, listen to me, it is going to affect you. Now, I'm not standing up here today and tell you that we deny that bad things are happening. No, I'm not up here saying that, because we live in a fallen world. We live in a world that is influenced by the devil. So what do you think? What do you expect? It is not influenced by God. It's influenced by the devil. And so we have to come back and understand what I need is what God says about recession. Not what Global 20 or what somebody or some newscast says about it. I need to know, I need to hear a word from God. Would somebody say amen? Amen. Help me out just a little bit. What I need in a time of crisis, and you know, if things are not going right, then I need to know what God says. Does anybody know what God says about recession? The Bible has a lot. Listen, I'll tell you what it doesn't say. The Bible doesn't say, well, in the year of 2009, there is going to be a great recession, probably one of the worst that the world has ever known, and maybe by the year of 2010, you will be able to come out of it, and by 2011, with all of the government help and all of the bailout and all the stimulus, by 2011, you possibly might recover to get back where you were. It doesn't say that. Listen, and I'm not against helping people, and I'm not against government. I'm not anti-government, okay? They've got their place, but God has His. And if I'm in a crisis, if I'm in a problem, I want to hear what God has to say. You know, you should know that if the government hands somebody money that doesn't know what to do with money, it ain't going to help them anyway. Look, the first rule that you learn, if you don't know what to do with money, it doesn't matter how much you get. It's not going to help you because you don't know what to do with it. If you don't know to give to God first and you don't understand the principle of tithing, listen, the government can give you stimulus after stimulus after stimulus and you're still going to be in the poorhouse and you're still going to be in debt and you're still going to be in need. Are you listening? So we have to see what God says. I'll tell you what God says. He says if you're foolish with money, Proverbs 23:5, you just write that down. You might want to read it sometime. It talks about if you're foolish with money, or that is your focus in life, it says money will take wings and fly away. Say, fly away. Okay? So I don't care if you're a beggar today, or you're under the bridge, or you're looking for handouts. Listen, even if the money was given to you and you don't know what to do with it, it's not going to help you. Say, it's not going to help you. Okay. Now, let's go over to Psalms. We're in Psalms 35. And we've said a lot in these messages. And I just want you again to know something, that what I am saying to you today is more dependent upon you than it is me. I am not up here giving you another lecture today. Don't look at the pastor and say, oh, well, you know, he's lecturing us today. I'm not lecturing you. I'm giving you a word that God has put in my heart to give to you. I've studied, I've prayed, and I believe this is what God has spoken to me to give to you, but it's really dependent upon you to receive from that word. Because if you're, you know, if you're bored or you're checked out or say, well, I don't need to know anything about recession, my mom and dad takes care of me, listen, you're not going to receive anything. You're not going to receive. You have to learn to draw on the anointing of God. In this church, we believe that the anointing of God is what destroys yokes and lifts burdens off of people's lives. Can you say amen? So you got to come to a place where, listen, we're believing and we're standing in agreement that the recessing yoke is going to be broke off the lives of the people of God. Amen? We're believing that the anointing is going to lift those sad days, those troubled times, and those things that they're saying that is happening. Listen, we serve a mighty God. And we're going to find out. We're going to find out. There's at least three, the top three in the Bible, because God does talk about it, because there are some things that happen in the Bible. One of them we looked at last week. There was a bad, one of the top three was the famine in the day of Isaac. But what did the Bible say? The Bible says, even in the time of famine, in the same year, Isaac sowed and he reaped 100-fold in the same year. Are you listening to me? And we can go back and look at the same thing that happened to his papa, Abraham. There was a great famine. That's probably the second largest recession in the Bible. And, you know, God never told him to stop sowing, because there's a principle in the Word of God of sowing and reaping. God doesn't say, well, you know, it's bad and things are not going good, so just clam up, shut up, and pull back. But yet the mentality has got into a lot of people, even into a lot of churches, because we're living in now what they are officially calling one of the worst recessions ever. Listen, that, you know, we've got to pull back. We've got to save. We've got to hoard up. Well, God doesn't say that. Why are you listening to the world? Whose system are you under? See, what kingdom do you live in? In fact, just hold your place there in Psalms 35 and go over to 1 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Are you okay? Okay. Part of moving into your wealthy place, remember I said this, let me just reiterate this, is being connected to the right place. All this message has been talking about getting us to our wealthy place, getting us to that place. We have to, now listen to me just a minute, look up here once you find the scripture. We have to be connected to the right people. We have to be connected to the right church. We have to be connected to the right pastor. Now, in all of that, we have to be both willing to do what God says. We have to be obedient, obey what God says. And what else? Y'all remember? We have to be what? Faithful where we're at. We have to be in the right place so that God can use people to make our connection. We have to be in the right church so we can hear the right word for the day that we live in. We have to be or have the right pastor, because you have to have a pastor that's not afraid of people, but that will be used to speak a word into your life. How many of you know you need somebody to speak words into your life? Not just get up here and give a lecture or a good speech. If you're still here, say amen. I know some of you are, you know, getting quiet. See, because why? Because remember, you're in the world, but what? Okay. And here's something you got to know. You are not subject to the world. You've got to get that in your understanding. You cannot let the world stay down in your heart and in your mind and in your talking. You are not subject. The world may be going through a recession, but you are not subject to that. You are subject to the kingdom of God. You are subjects of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You've got to get that understanding of the Word of God, because if all you're doing is feeding yourself on Fox News or local news or the internet news, you are planting those seed in your spirit. I tell you, God had to deal with me. In fact, You know, I got where I don't watch more than one cycle of news a day, and I used to watch a lot of it, just have it on in the background, but it was something the Spirit of God began to show me, that you're allowing those seed to be planted in you of how bad things are. And that there is like no hope, or nobody's got the answer. They think they got the answer. Are you with me? So we have to make sure that we're not just feeding our spirit. In fact, if you watch 30 minutes of news, you better put at least 30 minutes of word in you. That'll break you of the habit. 2 Timothy chapter 3, did you find that? He said, but we know this, that in the last days... Do you think we could be living in the last days? Okay. It says perilous times. Underline the word perilous, because the Greek here says these are... Here's the Greek language on it. It says these are furious, danger, difficult, low times, and times of stress. My cross reference says times of stress will come. Now, it's talking here about coming on the world. So if you participate and you listen to all that stuff, all that news, you know, throughout the day, throughout your evening, you're going to start participating, because it's going to start affecting you. He said, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, disobedient, or blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despiser of good. You know, you're not going to hear any good news. You hear this kind of news on the newscast. Did you notice that? He's talking about the world here. He's not talking about supposedly Christians. He said, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such turn away. So, look, what he's saying to you is the world is not supposed to be the one that you get your source of information from. The world and the newscast is not supposed to be the dominant factor that influences your life and how you're going to live. It does not say that we are to let the TV and the newscast, and we have it all day now, 24 hours a day, repeat, 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 coming into us all the time, or at least has access to us all the time, and be influenced by that. It says that we are to turn those things off, especially when things are not going like they ought to go. Are you with me? Isaiah 60 verse 1, just write it down, because it talks about that this is the hour that as darkness begins to cover the earth, this is the hour that the glory of the Lord is to shine upon the church. That's why I've told you and tell you again, this is our finest hour. This is the hour in which the church needs to stand up and shine its light through this darkness. But if you're listening and all you're doing is just what the world says and what how bad it is and how bad the times are, you're putting the wrong seed into you. Now go back to Psalms 35. Are y'all still okay? See, what are we talking about today? We're talking about God's Word on recession. How many of you want to know what God has to say? The Word today to you is to not let recession and difficult times get in your mouth and in your heart. Did you hear that? That's the Word of the Lord today for you, to not let the word of the world get in your heart, get in your mind, and get in your mouth. If you do, it will affect you. If that's what you feed on, if you're feeding on how bad it is and the recession, all the negativity, then that's what you're going to have. Now, what do you want to have? What God says or what the world says? Okay, let's go over here to Psalms 35. See, I know some of y'all are real quiet today. But my job is to get that spirit out of you. To get that spirit of discouragement and recession and how bad it is. I want to get that out of you today. And I pray that I succeed. Psalms 35, verse 27. God's called the church to go forward. Amen. Psalms 35, verse 27 says, let them what? Let them shout for joy and be glad. Not sad. Not sad. Who favor my righteous cause. Now, what's the righteous cause? Well, the righteous cause is that the kingdom of God advances. A righteous cause is that Jesus is proclaimed to all the world. A righteous cause is that the church flourishes and shines even in 2009. Are you with me? We're not going backwards. We're not going down. We're not going under. We're going over. We're going beyond. And so are you. Just don't let the word of the world get down in your heart. Don't let it get in your thinking and your mind, and don't let it get in your mouth. He said, let them shout for joy and be glad who favor my righteous cause, and let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified. The word magnified means to make something larger. You need to start making God larger than what the world is projecting is bigger and has no solution. God is bigger than any recession. God is bigger than any problem. And so we have to, we cannot allow what we hear from the broadcast, from the news media, and from the internet, we cannot allow that to become magnified in our life where it appears to be bigger than God. Because if we allow it to become bigger in God, I'm telling you, then it's going to start affecting you just like it affects the world. God has not called us to continually magnify the world. He has not called us to continually shout and magnify recession. Are you here with me? He said, let us shout with joy those who favor His righteous cause. In John, just hold your place there. Let's go to John chapter 16, verse 33, I believe. John chapter 16. Now, please understand me. I'm not up here telling you to pretend like these things don't exist. I'm not saying that at all to you. I'm talking about not allowing it to get in your heart and in your mouth so that you'll become affected by it. Let the Word of God, let see what God says about these things. You need to hear a word from God. You come here today, whether you realize it or not, to hear what God has to say about recession. How many are glad you're here? Okay. John chapter 16, verse 33. As long as you keep the word in your mouth and in your heart, listen, you're not going to be affected by what the world does. You're not subject to it. Now, here's a good scripture. I don't know if we have this in Amplified. Let me read out of the New King James. Hopefully we have it in Amplified. It says, these things have I spoken to you. Now, these are red letters. Say red letters. This is Jesus speaking, right? It's always good to hear from Jesus on things. It says, these things I have spoken to you that in me you may have peace. Say peace. In the world you will have tribulation. You will have the test. You will have the trials. But what? Be of good cheer. Don't be sad. Don't be discouraged. Don't be gloomy. Be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Now, these are the words of Jesus, okay? As long as I look and keep these things in perspective, this is what the world says, but this is what Jesus says. Well, I'm going to choose to believe what Jesus says. That's why I'm a Christian. That's why I've given my life to God, because it's God who I trust in. Amen? It's God. I'm not looking to government. I'm not looking to, you know, some kind of stimulus. I'm not looking for somebody to give me money. I'm looking to God. God will cause whatever I need to be met. The Amplified. Do we have an Amplified, Brother Victor? Let me read it to you. I don't know if we have it. If we have it, look up there, because I wanted to read this to you. It says, I have told you these things. If we don't have it, okay, we'll get it. I have told you these things so that in me, listen to this, so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence in the world. You have tribulation. Now look at this. In the world, you have tribulation and trials and distress and frustration. Does that sound familiar? But be of good cheer. Take courage. Say courage. Be confident. Say be confident. Be certain. Say certain. And be undaunted. Say undaunted. For I have, now listen to this part. This is good. For I have overcome the world, Jesus said. I have deprived it of power to harm you and have conquered it for you. Jesus said, I have deprived the world from harming you, and I have conquered it for you. That's what Jesus said. And that, now here's my deal. Either we believe the Bible or we don't. Either we believe that the Word of God is true, and the Word of God is real, and the Word of God is for you and I today, or it's not. I choose to believe, and I believe that we ought to act like the Word of God is true. Jesus said, I will not let the world harm you. I have overcome the world. Wow, that's good, isn't it? That's great. Let's hold fast to what God says and quit focusing on what the news says or what some, you know, educated person that acts like they know what's going on. There's only one that really knows what's going on. There's only one that really has all the answers, and that's Jesus. Can somebody say amen? So let's get the joy of the Lord back in our spirit. Amen? Because the joy of the Lord is our... Help me out, somebody. Shout to the Lord and be what? Glad. I just read the scripture to you. Get these things in your heart. Amen? When they tell you it looks like this thing's going to last another year, it's going to last another 2 years, oh, it's going to get worse before it gets better. Listen. Shout to the Lord. Amen? Shout and say, oh, thank you, Jesus. My dependency is upon you. It's not upon what man says. Come on. And just begin to let the joy of the Lord build back in you strength. Exodus chapter 20. Hurry. Oh, somebody say praise the Lord. Moving into our wealthy place. Praise God. Letting and understanding that Jesus has already conquered the world and He will not let it harm you. He said, I have deprived. That's good. He said, I have deprived the world from harming you. Amen. Say, I'm an overcomer. Say, I overcome the world. Jesus is my champion. He has deprived the world from harming me. Oh, yeah, get that down in. Get it down in you. Verse 23. Now, here, God has just given Moses the Ten Commandments, right? And so we pick it up here. It says, you shall not make anything to be with me gods of silver or gods of gold. You shall not make for yourselves an altar. Look at verse 24 carefully. It says, an altar of earth you shall make for me, and you shall sacrifice on it burnt offerings and your peace offerings and your sheep and your oxen. In every place, now here it is, in every place where I record my name, talking about a place, talking about where God has you, talking about where God brings you into a place where God is remembered there, he said, I will come to you and I will what? I will bless you. The word bless is the Hebrew word empower to prosper. Wherever God brings you into, even if it's in a time of recession for the world, God will empower you in the recession to prosper. I said, it does not matter because you are not subject to what is going on out there. Even in a time of recession, God will empower you to prosper. See, this is what I'm telling you. If you're a believer, you're empowered to prosper. I need to hear a word from God on recession. I don't need to hear a word from Obama. I don't need to hear a word from G20 global world leaders. I need to hear a word from God. Amen? Yeah, you can clap if you want to. Now, but Pastor, they said we're interested. Who said? Yeah, but they said it's going to get bad, and they said we better start saving, and we better quit spending. Who said? Well, they said. Well, why are you listening to they? God never said cut back. God never said hoard up. And you know, if some of you are making the same amount of money that you made last year, why are you cutting back? Boy, now's a great opportunity. Things are getting pretty cheap. Don't let the world influence you. Listen, don't let the world influence you. I said let's go, because we got time. I got to get through this. Go to 2 Kings, because there was three top 10 recessions in the Bible. Now listen to me. We know one was in Abraham's day. We know one was in Isaac's day. And here is the worst. Say the worst. In 2 Kings chapter 6. This is undoubtedly the worst recession ever. Japan never had one like this. United States never had one like this. Europe's never had one like this. This is numero uno. I'm going to show you. You want to know? Don't get quiet on me. Okay. Now look, let's read this. Let's look at the worst. Let's look at the worst recession in the Bible. Okay, and what are we doing here today? What are we doing? We're looking at what? God's word on recession. Okay, God's word on recession. God said, "Don't let the word of recession from the world get in your heart. Let His word get in your heart." Now here is the worst. Look at 2 Kings. Let's begin reading chapter 24 here for the sake of time. 2 Kings chapter 5. Where did I tell you to go? Yeah, chapter 6. Y'all know more than me. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 24. I get excited here and I have to leave out some of the stuff, but let me give you the 2 Kings one more time. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 24. Page 545. And it happened after this. And by the way, if you don't have a Bible, we'll let you look up there on the screen. Okay. But we prefer you bring your Bible. And it happened after this that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all his army and went up and besieged Samaria. So they were the people of Israel, got out of line again. They were trapped. They were surrounded by the enemy. And it says, and there was a great famine. Say, great famine. So here we are again. Another bad recession. But this one is the worst. Let me show you why. It says, there was a great famine in Samaria, and indeed they besieged it until a donkey's head was sold for 80 shekels of silver. Now, stop and think just a moment. You know, it'd be bad enough to eat any part of a donkey. Burro. Not burrito. Burro. But his head. That would be an insult to Israel. Okay. But they were so desperate, they were so hungry, that they were selling donkey's head. But look, that's not all. For 80 shekels of silver and 1/4 of a cab, or that's a cup, of dove dropping. Now, I'm reading out of the New King James. You need a Hebrew translation for dropping? Anybody need a translation? Okay. Okay. You know what it is, right? Everybody knows what it is? Okay. So how many would say that's pretty bad? That's pretty bad that not only do you have to eat dove's doo-doo or dung, but it's very expensive. And normally, on a good day, it's free. Are you here? So it's a pretty bad recession, isn't it? How many would say it's not that bad here? Thank God. Okay. So, it said, then the king of Israel was passed by on the wall. A woman cried out to him saying, help, Lord, my old king. I like verse 27. He said, if the Lord does not help you, where can I find help for you? Now just look up here a minute. He said, if the Lord can't help you, how am I going to help you? Now, there's a great lesson. I could preach a whole sermon just right there on that. Because a lot of you try to help people that even the Lord can't help. If the Lord can't help you, I certainly can't help you. It'd be like you're still 30 or 40 years old and you're still living with mom and daddy for support. Now, I love my mom and daddy, okay? I left home when I was about 20 years old, and they could support me pretty good today. I'd go back and they'd feed me real well. But I would not go back to them and ask for support. Are you with me? It's God's will that you advance. I said it's God's will. Now, if you're still living at home and mooching off mom and dad at 30, 40, 50 years old, shame on you. Here's a word from the Lord for you. Get out. Get out. You shouldn't be doing that. And you parents shouldn't be doing that, because you can't help somebody that the Lord can't help. See, this is why I'm telling you, you've got to be in a place where somebody, you've got to have your heart ready to be enlarged and open so somebody can speak into your life. In order to get to your wealthy place, you have got to have a word from God spoken into your life. If you're not going to have anybody speak a word into your life, then your heart is going to stay small. You're not going to advance, and you're certainly not going to get connected or move into your wealthy place, because you've got to be in the right place at the right time. Well, I won't say any more about that, because I could tell I'm not getting too many smiling faces here. And so he said, if I can't help you, if the Lord can't help you, he said, I certainly can't help you. Then the king, now the king was evil, we know that. Then the king said to her, what is troubling you? And she answered, this woman said to me, give your son that we may eat him today, and we will eat my son tomorrow. How sick. Say sick. I mean, it may be bad, but how many know it ain't that bad? Where you're going to have to boil your baby to eat. So we boiled my son and ate him. Sick. And I said to her, the next day, give your son that we may eat him. But she has hidden her son. Duh. You should have hid yours. Now, how many know that's pretty sick? I don't think it's ever been so bad where you laid awake at night hungry, hoping that the neighbor would let their dog out so you could go capture him and boil him. Or laying awake at night thinking, oh, my husband's asleep, he's snoring, I'm going to cut off his right arm and make some stew tomorrow. That's sick, isn't it? Sick, but this is what was going on. So it was bad times, would you say? I said, this is the worst recession I can find in the Bible, in the Word of God. But what you're going to find out, in 24 hours of time, God turned around the worst into a time of plenty. He turned famine into a feast. And you can read on here, the king winds up dying. He's evil. He came against a man of God. And he got trampled by the people that were going out to get the food. Y'all ever read your Bible? It says, now it happened when the king heard the words of the woman that he tore his clothes. And as he passed by on the wall, the people looked, and there underneath he had sackcloth on his body. So in other words, you know, he began to repent. Man, it's bad. Then he said, God, do so to me and more also if the head of Elijah. He blamed it on the man of God. Well, that preacher, I don't know why he's saying all those things to us. Son of Shaphat remains on him today. But Elisha was sitting in his house, and the elders were sitting with him, and the king sent a man ahead of him. But before the messenger came to him, he said to the elders, do you see how this son of a murderer, now he's calling this guy a son of a murderer, this king, he says, has sent someone. He was prophetically seeing into the future, seeing into tomorrow. He said, look, when the messenger comes, shut the door and hold him fast at the door. Is not the sound of the master's feet behind him? And while he was still talking with them, there was the messenger coming down to him. And then the king said, surely this calamity is from the Lord. Now, a lot of people want to blame God. Why should I wait for the Lord any longer? And then chapter 7 begins like this. Then Elisha said, hear the word of the Lord. Now, let me tell you something. Whenever things are bad, whenever there's a crisis, whether it's in our country or the world, and I know it affects a lot of people around the world, we need to hear a word from the Lord. Now, here's what the Lord said. Thus says the Lord. Tomorrow, about this time, a sheesh of fine flour shall be sold for a shekel. Hey, that's good news. Now, we can make tortilla. We can make bread. And we don't have to wrap it in dove's dung. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And two sheaves of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria. So an officer on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, look, if the Lord would make windows of heaven, could this thing be? See, there's always somebody who wants to doubt. There's always somebody who doesn't want to believe the man of God or the word of God. He said, how could this thing be? And he said, in fact, you shall see it with your eyes, but you shall not eat of it. Now, he was prophetically talking to the king, and you can read on there. And for the sake of time, I got to stop. But listen to me. The bottom line is, Old Testament, Old Covenant, type and shadow. I believe it really happened, but it's a type and shadow of how by our own mouth we can speak recession and we can speak bad time into our own life. And we can kill, listen, maybe I'm not talking about kill one another or kill, you know, somebody. I'm talking about we can kill prosperity in our life. We can kill advancement in our life. Because have you noticed when they get up, I'm talking about when the leaders get up, whether the president or somebody, when they get up and they start talking about how bad it is, the stock market responds almost immediately. All they have to do is get up and say something like, we're in this thing very deep and it don't look like there's any breakout for a long time. The stock market goes into. So even the stock market, even the world knows that with negativity, everything goes down. So when are we going to learn? I said, when are we going to learn as a church? When are we going to learn as a believer? See, we need to get back and get a hold of these things, because you remember it wasn't too long ago that about a year ago that gasoline was almost $4 a gallon right here. And a lot of people said, well, you know, we're not going to be able, they're cutting back. Not going to be able to go to church. They can go down to the video rental, but they can't go to church. Come on, are you with me? And some of them got so deep into, oh man, what are we going to do? You know, we're going to have to get bicycles. We're going to have to, you know, they got it so deep down inside of them that even today, when it's only a buck, you know, less than $2, they still got that $4 in them. They still ain't here. One more. Can I give you one more? Go to Philippians chapter 4, and I will close with this. Are you okay? Okay. Praise the Lord. You thought I was going to let you go, didn't you? This is good for you. Philippians chapter 4. See, you got to get in position where God can talk to you. And I don't get you in position too often, once a week maybe. Colossians, Philippians chapter 4. Now you know this, most of you. All I tried to show you that in the worst recession, as bad as it was, boiling babies, eating doves' dung, donkeys' heads, God turned it. You can find out that those lepers went into Syria and God made noise and the enemy split. The Syrians, they left and they came and they were able to take all the gold, all the silver, and all the food. And they went back to the gatekeeper and said, hey, we can't keep this bad news. We got good news. How many know God always has good news? And that's how they came to come back into prosperity. So in 24 hours, God turned it around. I said in 24 hours, God turned it around. Now, let's read right quick. In Philippians chapter 4, it says, nevertheless, you have done what you shared, or the Greek there is give, in my distress. What was Paul's distress? Paul had the dilemma of the mission, and this is Mission Sunday, so that's why I wanted to read this morning before we quit, because he had the burden of getting the gospel out to his known world. God gave him a vision to establish churches in the known world. Are you with me? He said, now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared or no church gave with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. See, the principle of giving and receiving. A lot of people want to receive. A lot of people want the handout, but they haven't learned the principle of giving. Giving and receiving. Giving always comes first. Okay? He said, for even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Now notice, and I don't have time to break all this down for you, but listen, every time you give as directed by God, led by the Spirit of God, you give into what is called a spiritual account. You say, why do I need a spiritual account? Why do you need a regular account? So that when you write a check or when you make a withdrawal, it's not a hot check. There's something there to withdraw. And if you have put in your spiritual account, when you need to draw your spiritual account, how many know there will be something there? There will be more than you put in there because God reciprocates. He gives more than enough. Now, he said, indeed, I have all, and I abound, and I'm full, having received from Epaphroditus the things from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, and pleasing to God. Now, look at this next verse carefully, one we quote all the time. And my God, say my God, shall supply all your need according to the world's economy. According to the economy of America. No, no. According to the gold standard. No. According to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. How does God supply my need? From His riches in Christ Jesus. In fact, if you look it up in the original language, it is what we call the continual sense verb that means my God shall continually keep on supplying all your need according to His riches and glory. And the point I'm trying to make to you today, we don't live according to what the world says. We don't live according to what leaders and so-called economists and all these people, and we're not saying that they don't have some input. We're not saying they don't have some knowledge. But we shouldn't let that input and that knowledge deter us and influence us away from what God says. Not if you believe God, what God says is more important than what the world says. Especially coming from a system that's demonic influenced anyway. I didn't say everybody in there was demons. I said the system is demonic. It's influenced. It's devilish. Are you here? So we have to be in the right place at the right time to move into our wealthy place. Because God could speak to somebody, see, and use somebody to put something in your hand that you need. Amen. But what if you're not in the right place? I can't tell you how many times that God has used somebody to put resources in our hand. Amen. I'm talking about big sums of money because they were led by God. Now, what would happen if I wasn't in the right place? If I wasn't in the place where that person could make contact? You see what I'm saying? How important it is to move into your wealthy place? I want you to stand up with me. Are y'all getting this? See, I want you to say this with